thought Thomas for you. Thomas and I thought it was cool. Like your pen, but different colors.
Okay, today is May 5th, 2014, and this is the intermediate poly class. Okay, we do one time homage to the Buddha. Ah, that's good. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. And now we are working on lesson 5. And we first take the grammar section. Okay, a lot of this grammar covers material that we've already covered when we went through the Pali Primer. So you should all know it, should have it at the tip of your fingers. So here we have the personal pronouns, first person. These, of course, you have no choice, you just have to learn them. So personal pronouns. Okay. Which one is it? This is what you like? A little bitter. Okay, so you just have to learn this. There's no alternative. Get familiar with them. Then the second person, this is the form of you. We don't use thou in English anymore. So it's whether singular or plural in English, we just say you, but it's different in Pali. So then we go to 1.3. This is they call us the enclitic forms of the pronouns. Enclitic, anybody know what it means? Okay, it's a word I never came across until I studied Pali. This is a form that only comes inside a sentence. Enclitic, I think it's en means inside. You never begin a sentence with this form. And so for the first person to represent the instrumental dative or genitive, we have may. Ayang, for example, ayang me potakang, ayang this, me mine, potaka, book. And then for the plural, it's no. And that could be dative, instrumental, genitive, or accusative. Then the second person enclitic form is te, ayang te potakang. This is your book. You'd never say, te ayang potakang. To give an instrumental, idang me kamang katang, or idang me katang kamang. This deed was done by me, but you would never say me idang katang kamang. By me, this deed was done. You could say maya idang kamang katang, because maya is the normal form of the instrumental. Again, these we'll see how they're used. Don't worry about the explanation too much. Okay, now we come again, because we had this in the Pali Primer. These are nouns and adjectives that end with vant or Mant. The form Vant is used when the first part of the word ends in A. For example, we have the word Sila. Sila is precepts or good conduct. So Sila Vant would be one who has good conduct, one who observes precepts. Sila Vant. But let's see a form with Buddhi Mant. Oh, the Mant is used after a vowel other than A. For example, the vowel I, Buddhi, means intelligence. So you would say Buddhi Mant means an intelligent one, one who has intelligence. Bhanu Mant is, Bhanu is rays of light, and so Bhanu Mant is that which possesses rays of light. That's a poetic word for the sun. And so we have forms ending in Vant or Mant. They can be in themselves a noun if they're used not qualifying another noun. Then the word ending in Vant is a noun in itself. For example, the word, the most common word for the Buddha, Bhagavant, is the blessed, the word we translate the blessed one, Shidsun. So it's Bhagavant is the one who has, Bhaga means like good fortune. So the fortunate one, Bhagavant. Well, we could have the word gunavant. Guna means gongde, good qualities. So one who has good qualities, gunavant. If that word just stands as the subject of a sentence, not describing another noun, then gunavant would be a noun itself. It's the subject. But if the word with Vant or Mant is describing something else, then Gunavant or then the Vant or Mant word becomes an adjective. For example, we can say Gunavant Upasaka. Here Upasaka is the lay follower, the layman. And then Gunavant comes to mean the virtuous. So Gunavant Upasaka is the virtuous lay devotee. But if you just have Gunavant, okay, let's say Gunava Upasako Viharang Agachi. So Gunava Upasako, the virtuous lay disciple, Viharang Agachi, went to the monastery. So the virtuous lay disciple went to the monastery. But if you say Gunava, let's say Gunava Silani Rakati, in that case, the virtuous one observes precepts. Well, you could say Gunava Viharang Agachi, the virtuous one went to the monastery. So it's either a noun or an adjective. Then you will see that the what are called the oblique cases or the secondary cases, like the genitive, dative, instrumental, ablative, locative, can take on either of two forms. That is because this termination that indicates possession can be either a strong form. The strong form is Vant, V-A-N-T. And the weak form is vat. You see, when it has two consonants, vant, then it's the strong form. With one consonant, vat, that's the weak form. And these cases are formed a little bit differently. Probably the older form, I would say, is the weak form. So we have for the genitive dative, si levato, for the instrumental ablative, si levata, and the locative, si levati. But then probably at a later time, these cases came to be sort of assimilated, made similar to the ordinary verbs ending in the short A, like budasa, budena, budde. And so in that case, they just added the regular endings for the short A nouns to the strong stem, vant. So just as we have budasa, then we have, say, guna vantasa, just as we would say buddhena by the Buddha, they would say guna vantena, or in regard to the Buddha, buddhe, then they would say guna vante. I think the forms with vant become more common in the commentarial literature. The forms with the weak stem more common in the sutta literature. Okay, then the plural also. Here we have a kind of variation between cases. The genitive and dative uses the weak stem. But it uses both the weak stem and the strong stem. So you can get sila vatang as well as sila vantanang. And here you have to be careful, because when you see the sila vatang, if you're not aware that this is the genitive dative plural, you see the ung ending and then you'll think this must be accusative, but it's not. But when we have the instrumental ablative, then it uses the strong stem. So we have sila vantehi, and the locative also uses the strong stem. Sila vantesu. Okay, so these are the masculine forms that we have in this box showing the declension. To form the feminine forms, do they give this here?
I don't think so.
It says, for that we have to go, well, first they take the neuter. Okay, the neuter forms are just like the masculine, except for the nominative, accusative, and the plural vocative. But I have to say that neuter forms must be extremely rare, because this particular form seems almost always to be used to describe persons. I'm just trying to think whether I've come across neuter forms. I'd have to really be on the lookout for them. So get familiar with the masculine forms and the feminine forms. Okay, to get the feminine forms on page 70, the feminine is formed by adding the long I to either the vant munt or the vat mut stem. The nominative singular is us, either sila vanti, or I think more common in sutta literature, you would say sila vati. And then this takes the endings of a regular feminine noun with the long I. For For example, this would be chapter 1, section 1, 2, 3, 2. If you go to page 6, where you see the noun nadi, meaning river. So if we're taking the word silavati, that means a virtuous or woman, a woman who's observing precepts. So in that case, you would get silavati, first nominative silavati, accusative silavating, then the indirect cases silavatiya, then vocative would be silavati, then the plural nominative accusative silavatiyo, genitive dative silavatinang, instrumental ablative silavatihi, and locative silavatisu. So you could just even put a pencil note on page 70 for the feminine. You could say, see page 6, and then you write the noun nadi to follow the example of nadi. Okay, then we come. Any questions about this? Yeah, please. But
when you say strong stem, is it anything to do with the meaning itself or just the pronunciation?
No, nothing to do with the meaning. The strong stem means, because we have two consonants, vant. You see, NT sound is strong, but just the T without the N, vat, that's considered weak. Because when you're in Pali, syllables are distinguished as either strong or weak. The strong syllables will have two consonants or a long vowel. And the weak consonants will have, I'm sorry, the weak syllables will have the short vowel or just one consonant. Any other questions on this type of noun, or this type of noun adjective? Okay, then we can move on to present participle. Okay, the present participle, and this again is something we've already had in Lily De Silva Pali Primer. So it's just a matter of reviewing what you've already learned, but we'll just go over it again. And the present participle, you'll see, is very similar to the nouns and adjectives, Hung Li Fa Shi, Ni Chi Zai Na Li. Jing Zuo, Jing. Oh, okay. Okay, the present participles, you'll see, are very similar to the nouns ending in vant, because with the present participle, we have the same diversity of strong forms and weak forms, the strong forms with ant and the weak forms with ut. So the present participles for the verb gacchati. Gacchati is to go. We have here gacchanto. That's a little different from like silava, but it's similar to silavanto. And then we have, this is where you have to be careful, the form gacchang. This we usually meet in verse, because I guess this form arose in order to be able to adapt the nominative singular to fit into the meter. And here again you have to be careful, because if you're not aware of this nominative singular of the present participle, when you see the ung ending, you'll think, oh, that must be accusative. But it's not. It's present participle, nominative singular, the short form. Masculine nominative singular. Then we have, the rest are very, very similar to the vant forms. So with vant, where we have silavantang, here for the accusative present participle, we get gacchantang. For genitive dative, where we have silavato, here we have gacchato. For instrumental ablative, where we have silavata, here we have gacchata. And for the, where we have the locative silavati, here we have gacchati. And this is gacchati, meaning not, this is not the regular indicative verb. From the context, you could tell that this will be the present participle locative. Then we come to the plural, just as we have silavanto, here we have gacchanto for both nominative and accusative. Then just as we have for the genitive dative of silavatang or silavantanang, so for the genitive dative we have gacchatang and gacchantanang. Again, gacchat, that form gacchatang, is more common in the sutta literature. And gacchantanang we would see in the later literature, the commentaries. Then for the instrumental ablative, where we see silavantehi, here we have gacchantehi. And where for the locative, where we have silavantesu, here we have gacchantesu. So if you get familiar with one, then it's almost just an automatic process to become easily familiar with the other. Then the neuter forms, the only difference is that for the you have the nominative and accusative both as antang and antani, gacchantang or gacchantani. Gacchanti, I don't know that I've seen this, actually. So really get to learn to recognize a form like gacchantani. Then the feminine present participle, to my knowledge, it takes the long I ending, and it would be declined just like nadi on page 6. So to take the example of the verb to go, gacchati, then we have for the woman going, gacchati, going down from the singular, gacchati, gacchating, gacchatiya. Gacchatiya would be genitive, dative, instrumental, ablative, and locative. So you would also could have the form for the locative, gacchatiyang. Then for the plural, you would have gacchatiyo or gacchati. Then genitive, dative, gacchatinang. Instrumental, ablative, gacchatihi. And for the locative, gacchatisu. Then coming back, page 70, the case forms are like those of other I stems, but unt may become t before the non-nominative accusative endings. I don't understand. Okay, non-nominative. Oh, I see what's meant by I see. I thought they were saying accusative endings, which are not nominative, which is redundant. But this means that the NT becomes T before the instrumental, ablative, genitive, dative, locative endings, which is what I already said. So we would have the woman going gacha ti, let's see, gacha ti ya. Okay, then, any questions on the present participle? Again, as I said, you just look over this, and anything that's unclear, you can go back to the Pali Primer, look at the lesson on the present participle in that book, review your old exercises from the Pali Primer. Okay, section 4, here we have the noun arahant. The noun arahant was actually originally, it seems, it was originally a present participle, the present participle of a verb arahati, which means to be worthy. So originally arahant meant one who is being worthy, one who is deserving. But then it became a noun in its own right, meaning a worthy one, a holy one. And so because it's originally a present participle, normally it's declined just like the present participles. Except that it also has a nominative singular araha, which is actually similar to silava, and it has the nominative plural araha, which must be rare because I'm not so acquainted with it. Usually the nominative plural would be arahanto, just like the form silavanto or gachanto. Otherwise, it takes the same endings as the vant nouns or the present participle. Any questions about this?
So that's why it's arahato in the what we just said earlier, not arahatasa, something.
Okay, what case, that's a good test. We say, yeah, this is a very good case for several of these forms. We say namo tassa bhagavato arahanto sama sambuddhassa. What case?
Genitive.
Okay, good. It could be genitive or... Yeah, because what happens often is that the genitive and dative come very close together to merge, so it's almost impossible to distinguish. So we have namo tassa bhagavato. So if you look at the table of the vant forms, you see genitive, dative, silavato. So here we have bhagavato. Then we have the form, or we have the word arahato. So, again, that would be the dative, genitive, because arahato or arahan is originally a present participle, so arahato would be either the would be the genitive data of that present participle. So arahato is genitive data of present participle. But then samma, okay, samma is indeclinable, sambuddhassa. So here we have the regular genitive date of ending for Buddha or sambuddha. That's the assa ending. So it looks, you know, if you don't know Pali grammar, it looks like when you say namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa, it looks like you're mixing up cases. But if you know the grammar, you know that tassa, bhagavato, arahato, and sambuddhassa are all the same case. Yeah.
What is namo there? Namo? What
kind of word? Yeah, namo, it's based on the verb namati, which means to bend. And so, since one bends down in homage, so then it, from the verb namati, meaning to bend, an indeclinable arises, namo, which means something like bending down to the Buddha, you know, to the Buddha. But then it comes on to take, it takes on the meaning of homage to.
But isn't there a verb namasati, to pay homage to? So
namate. Yeah, like yeah.
People in yoga classes say namaste kind of thing.
Well, namaste is, you see, that's a Sanskrit, slightly Sanskritized form. In Pali, the aya sound of Sanskrit always turns into the o. Whereas in Sanskrit, the us is retained. So they say namaste, which would be, in Pali, would be namote.
Namote.
Yeah.
Pandit, how about namaskar?
Namas what?
Namaskar.
Namaskara.
Namaskar, yeah.
Namasaka.
You didn't heard before namasaka.
No, there's namaskara.
Namaskara.
Namaskara is basically, it's the same word. It's namas, meaning like homage, mm-hmm. and kara means doing. So namaskara is doing homage, or the act of homage. Mm-hmm.
Salutation.
Well, salutation, yeah. Salutation. Yeah, namaskara would be the Sanskritized form. I guess namokara would be the Pali form. Mm-hmm. Oh, but what happens with the modern Indians, I guess in modern Hindi, they drop the final A, so it becomes namaskar.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you've heard.
Yeah,
namaskar.
Namaskar.
Yeah, they drop that final A. Do you want to go on to the past participles, or should we save that for next week? Yeah, I have to say, I get burnt out by too much grammar. So shall we do some reading exercises? So
will that be for this best content?
Excuse me?
Will that be for this best?
Okay, because I like to do the reading exercises, because then I could point out in the reading exercises what we come across in the grammar. Then I could also ask you questions to test your diligence in preparing. Okay, so let's go to page 63. The first section. And I'll recite each phrase, and then you repeat after me. Janaya nu ko bho Gotama. Asapuriso asapurisang.
Asapuriso asapurisang.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Let's take the answer, then I'll explain it. Atanang koetang brahmana.
Atanang koetang brahmana.
Anavakaso.
Anavakaso.
Yang asapuriso.
Yang asapuriso.
Asapurisang janeya.
Asapurisang janeya.
Asapuriso.
Asapuriso.
Ayang bhavanti.
Ayang bhavanti.
Okay, the first sentence here is a question. Suppose we didn't have a question mark, which is a modern Western convention. How would you know that this sentence was a question? Okay, but what about janeya? Well, that does that necessarily make a verb a question? Oh, very good. The new ko, that little particle nu, it's like putting a questioning tone into the sentence. Any other indication that this might be a question? Sagarananda was on the right track, but then he went off with the second part of the answer.
Like looking at the janeya, like it usually implies would or should, so maybe...
Well, you could say would or should without asking a question.
Say, dear Gautama?
Well, one could address, I mean, there are plenty of places where they address the Buddha without stating a question. Yongxian, I think you have the answer.
Master Gautama?
No, that's what Venerable Sagarananda said. Suki? You're not sure? June?
She said, is it the word janeya?
We said that it has something to do with the word janeya, but not the fact that it's optative. It's staring you in the face. It's almost slapping you in the face. The question is so simple. Somebody take one guess.
The position of janeya?
Okay, you hit it on, what about the position?
That it starts with...
Right, exactly. Yeah. Normally a verb won't start a sentence. It'll start the sentence only to ask a question or to put some special emphasis on the verb. So here we have the verb starting the sentence, and then we have this nu ko, which is almost like a question mark. And what is the meaning of janeya?
No.
Right. So in this case, he's asking, could one know? And the subject is asa puriso, which means, how do they put it here? Yeah, it's the opposite of sapuriso. Sapurisa is a good person. Like a virtuous man, worthy man, good man. So asapuriso is one who's not a good man. So it's like a low person, a bad person. And now we have asapuriso and asapurisang. Which is the subject, which is the object?
Asapuriso is the subject.
Right. And what is the object?
Asapurisang.
Right. Okay, so putting it all together, this Brahman, he's asking the Buddha, could a bad person, Venerable Gotama, know a bad person, another bad person, mm-hmm. thus is implied, then asapuriso, a bad person, ayang, this, then the word bhavang would be, means something like, how do they give it here?
Individual,
a person. It's a little bit honorific. This gentleman, you could say, or even maybe this fellow, this, in modern English, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, could a bad person know a bad person, thus, he'll know this bad person, a bad person is this fellow, or this fellow is a bad person. Jaga ren, buhao ren. Jaga ren, shabuhao ren. So this is the question. Master Gotama, or Venerable Honorable Gotama, could a bad person know another bad person? Thus, this fellow is a bad person. Okay, then the Buddha answers, Atanang ko etang brahmana. Okay, you repeat. Atanang ko etang brahmana.
Atanang ko etang brahmana.
Unavakaso.
Unavakaso.
Yang asapuriso.
Yang asapuriso.
Asapurisang janeya.
Asapurisang janeya.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Okay, the word atanang means impossible. It's the negation. There's a word tana, which usually means place. That's the original meaning. Place, or it could mean case, or it could mean situation, but it can also mean possibility. And then utanang means non-possibility, in other words, impossible, or there's no case. No such case. Bukanang, I think, in Chinese. What could you say? Meiosha? Meio jemasha? Could you say?
Meio zhehuishi. Meio zhehuishi.
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 What is the way there? Way goes with shi? Oh, I see.
没有这个事。
Okay, so Utanang is impossible, and that goes with Etang. So actually, Utanang is a noun, impossibility, Etang, this. Or this is impossibility. And then the word unavakaso means pretty much the same thing as Utanang. Often in the suttas, they go together, just like saying the same thing in two different ways. Avakaso literally means room or space. And then unavakaso means that there's no room, no space for something.
No chance,
that's good. Very good, yeah. You could say, okay, so Utanang, it's impossible, O Brahman. Unavakaso, there's no chance. But this is impossible, O Brahman. There's no chance. And then that phrase, Utanang Etang Unavakaso, goes with yang. Yang is filling in what is impossible. So this is impossible, O Brahman. There's no chance. Yang, that, in normal English, that, asapuriso, a bad person, asapurisang janaya, could know a bad person, thus, asapurisang ayang bhavang, this fellow is a bad person. It's a rather curious statement. Is it in English, don't we have a saying, it takes a thief to know a thief?
Mm-hmm. It takes one to know one.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of something more specifically. It takes a thief to know a thief?
I think I heard that before.
Excuse me?
I heard that before.
You've heard that? Okay, so I'm not just imagining something.
This is saying like it can't be known, like a bad can't know a bad.
Yeah, I'm really curious. What do you meant by that?
Yeah, it's puzzling to me too. Like I imagine, like say, somebody who's a thief comes into a room of people with whom he's completely unacquainted, and he's trying to round up some guys for his maybe to form a little gang of thieves. He just sort of scans them, and just I would say he has an intuitive sense of picking out who are the honest guys who might snitch on him, and who is the sort of naturally born thief that he could form an alliance with. Anyway, that's what it says. Okay, so this is the first question answer. Then we come to the second question and answer. So here we have Janaya Pana Bo Gotama.
Janaya Pana Bo Gotama.
Asapuriso Sapurisang.
Asapuriso Sapurisang.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
And then the answer. Etang Piko Brahmana.
Etang Piko Brahmana.
Utanang Unavakaso.
Utanang Unavakaso.
Yang Asapuriso.
Yang Asapuriso.
Sapurisang Janaya.
Sapurisang Janaya.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
Okay, so this is another question and answer. And here, because we have Pana indicates that this is continuing from the previous question and answer. It's like we say, like he's saying, but Master Gotama. And so because we have Pana, it seems we wouldn't say nu. We wouldn't have the nu there. We wouldn't have nu ko. But from the fact that the verb begins the sentence, we can tell that it's a question. They're saying, but Master Gotama, could a bad person know a good person? This fellow is a good person. Or a good person is this fellow. So that's the question. And then the Buddha answers, Etang Piko Brahmana. I think we did that, yeah. I'm sorry, so I shouldn't. So he says, Etang Piko Brahmana. So Etang is this, and the P means also, or to. And then the Ko, again, just a little bit emphatic. And the Etang goes with the Tanang. So this too, O Brahman, is an impossibility. Unavakaso, not a chance. Young, that a bad person might know a good person, thus this fellow is a good person. Again, this is a little puzzling to me, since, again, when that thief comes into the room and looks around, if he's a real sharp and experienced thief, you know, just by looking at people, he pretty much knows who is the honest, trustworthy, upright, virtuous person. And when he wants to, you know, form a pact of thieves, he's going to avoid that person. No?
So probably this actually gives us the meaning of Sapurisa and the Asapurisa. That doesn't all just mean bad person like a thief. Maybe it has a little bit of a different...
Yeah, well, often Sapurisa is used in the text almost as a synonym for one who's like a noble, an Aryan person.
So it has a knowing kind of...
It doesn't mean that he necessarily has the ability to read the minds of others, but maybe like a strong intuition, an intuitive sense of the character of others.
Right. So like some people, I mean, ignorant people cannot tell who is good teacher, so yeah, they follow any teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a Pali class. I can't answer all of these Dhamma questions.
But the, in Majjhima Nikaya, I think it's a sutta we probably took. Sapurisa, the true man.
Right.
Yeah.
There are even a person who meditates and clings to jhana is defined as...
Asapurisa.
Yeah,
but not usually. Usually it really means a bad person. Okay, so that is the first pair of questions and answers. Then the second pair is actually just the opposite. So again, we could take this. Janaya Nuko Bhogotama.
Janaya Nuko Bhogotama.
Sapuriso Sapurisang.
Sapuriso Sapurisang.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
Sapuriso Ayang Bhavanti.
So here he's asking, can, O Gotama, can a good person know another good person, thus a good person is this fellow, or this fellow is a good person? And then the Buddha says, Tanang ko etang brahmana.
Tanang ko etang brahmana.
Vijati.
Vijati.
Yang sapuriso sapurisang janeya.
Yang sapuriso sapurisang janeya.
Sapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Sapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Okay, so the Buddha says, okay, tanang, here we have the meaning of the case is, or the situation is, or the possibility. And this goes with the verb vijati. Vijati means to exist. So the possibility exists. The case exists.
There's a whole grammar section on this construction, unfortunately.
In the lesson? That
number 7, page 72, which I didn't...
Really I see understand. That, yeah. You know, we'll come to that next week, then. But I've already explained. Okay, so tanang is qualified first by etang. This possibility, O Brahman, vijati, exists. Yang, that, sapuriso, the good person, then we would go to the verb janeya, might know or could know sapurisang, another good person. Sapurisang, sapuriso ayang bhavang, sapuriso, a good person, ayang, this, bhavang, fellow, or gentleman. Okay, any questions on this?
Can I offer something regarding the meaning?
Okay.
I've experienced in monastic life sometimes people being able to pick up more subtly than just, oh, a thief knowing a thief.
Yeah.
But more subtly, like one time in India visiting different monasteries and going into one monastery where it just felt like an oasis.
Yeah.
You know, so clear.
Yeah.
And the senior monk said, that comes because of the sila practiced here.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe more on a subtle level.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. 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 So now we come to the last pair of question and answer. Janeya panako go. Janeya pana bhogotama.
Janeya pana bhogotama.
Sapuriso asapurisang.
Sapuriso asapurisang.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
Asapuriso ayang bhavanti.
So again, the Brahmana is asking, the pana indicates, but, Master Gotama, could a good person know another good person? I'm sorry. No, it should be. It's a bad person. Could a good person know a bad person? This fellow is a bad person. Okay, then the Buddha answers, Etang piko brahmana.
Etang piko brahmana.
Tanang vijati.
Tanang vijati.
Yang sapuriso asapurisang janeya.
Yang sapuriso asapurisang janeya.
Asapuriso.
Asapuriso.
Ayang bhavanti.
Ayang bhavanti.
Anybody want to tell me the meaning of this? Huh? I mean, we've gone through several models of the same type of sentence. You want to try it? Word for word.
Word for word.
Yes.
So this also from so it is possible that a good person can know a bad person.
Yeah.
And that this person is a bad person.
Right. And you have to get in the verb, if you're going to be very literal, to get in the verb vigiti. So this possibility exists, or there is the possibility, there is the case. So any questions on this, anything in this whole selection? Then let's take, was it 209 now? Then let's take a 10-minute break till 10:20. So anybody wants to go to the restroom or just to get some fresh air? Thank you.